So much to learn. Hey, James from England. Today's lesson I want to teach you about super learning. You know, from one of my favorite, well, not my favorite superhero, but my brother's and a good friend of mine's favorite superhero, Superman. Why is he Superman? Because he does everything better than the average person. Today's lesson is how to learn better. Now, I'm not saying better than the average person, but to improve your ability to learn or to, be better than the average person when they learn. And you might say, why is that important? This is an English lesson. Learning English, the grammar, vocabulary, syntax, reading and writing, they're all great things. The problem is, when you're not able to learn on a constant basis and continually improve, if you get bored and stagnant, you stop learning, you stop working, you give it up. If I can give you some tools in which to improve and give you the ability to learn faster, as you get it in faster and you learn, you will complete the goal that you started for yourself, which was to learn English. So let's go to the board and do some super learning. All right? Super learning. There's Mr. E with his big S on his chest, flying powerfully. This lesson I'm giving to a guy named Joseph Aline Laconte. He's from Haiti. Was out on the street one day and he came up and said, hey, I watch your videos. Thank you very much. And Joseph Aline, thank you very much for stopping to say hello. I always appreciate it, and I love the support that you guys give. But let me get to the board and get to the lesson. That's why you're here. So we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different things or exercises I can give you to help you become a super learner. Super learning isn't anything special. It's basically doing not just your best, that's one thing, it's maximizing your potential. And what I mean by, you have a line that you start at, and there's what you can possibly do. Most of us at our best move up here. When we do super learning, we actually go up here and learn as much as we can actually do. And it's surprising how much you can take in and how much you can use to become better in a short period of time if you're given certain tools. And I'm going to give you a few hints today. One of the first thing is there's Mr. E with a megaphone.
He's speaking out.
If it's written material, say it out loud. What? Well, when you read it, that's using your vision, okay? There are three ways to learn. There are actually more, but three basic ones people are taught in teachers' colleges that most students use to learn. One is visual, with your eye. One is auditory, with your ear. And the other is kinesthetic, doing something. That's why in school, you'll notice teachers write on a board, you look at it, then they speak, you listen, and you write down information. By doing those three, you can keep up to 80% of the information, right? And also repetition and a few other things. But those are the things that help you learn. A lot of people have things that they're better at. So some people are better at listening than they are at understanding information when it's written. Or when they do it, they're confused. But if you explain it to them, they're like, I get it, I can do that. Same with some people, they need to see it. You demonstrate it, they can understand. But if you say it to them or make them do it, they don't. Okay, so that's two of the three. And obviously number three, the kinesthetic. If they do it, they understand much better than if you write it on the board or explain it. So why am I telling you if it's written, say it? Well, remember I said if all three are combined, you learn better. So if something's written down, one of the better ways to understand it is to say it out loud. Because when it's written, you're using your visual. When you say it out loud, that's right, your auditory comes in. It's another component, so it means more of your brain has to be used to absorb the information. It's also got a repetition factor. Because you read it and then you say it, you're repeating it to make it go deeper. So it's not just one time I'm finished, it's one, how are you today? How are you today? By doing that alone, guess what? That's right, you've listened, you've watched, but you've done the third one by accident. By opening your mouth, you're using kinesthetic. How are you today? You've done it three times now. You've looked at it, you've said it, you've heard yourself. Three repetitions for one reading. Some people will read it once. By doing that alone, you're doing it three times. So you can see you can learn three times as quickly. That's why we call it super learning. Taking what you have and maximizing your potential. Also, when you're saying it out loud, it gives your brain the opportunity to critique or look at that information because you're saying it. Does it make sense to you? Why doesn't it make sense? What is confusing to me? When you're looking it down, you might say, I don't understand or understand, and it stops. When you say it, you're going, does this sentence even work? Cool? All right. Next, if it's spoken material, write it down. Oh, it's the same, you just repeated it. No. It is the same in that we're using more senses to learn it, but when something's spoken, it's quickly forgotten. So the added bonus to writing it down is you have notes to remind you so you can look at it later. But one of the important things about writing it down is it's a motor skill that forces your body to go through, once again, we're going to kinesthetic movement, forcing the brain to work because you're taking sounds and you're interpreting it into a, I would say, visual medium. So then you've got the kinesthetic writing it, then it's the looking at it, because I have never met anyone who writes like this. Okay, usually they write and they look. So when you're in a lecture hall, most students do this naturally. They write it down. I met a person who was really interesting. Well, maybe I'm making that up and it was something I read. But they said that they were at a meeting with someone and the person actually, and they wanted to meet this person and talk to them. They were like, just imagine a big manager and a small employee. The big manager wanted to meet the small employee and the big manager took out a book and a pen and started writing down what the small employee said. It's like, why? It's like, well, I can learn from you. So when I'm sitting there talking to you, I can learn from you if I'm writing it down. If I don't, it gets forgotten. So it makes it more important to my brain because if I'm writing it, taking the time, my brain goes, this must be important, I should remember it. It also gives me the opportunity, or you the opportunity, to go over what you've written down and see if it makes sense and clarify it. So you get to question it, think about it, give it some sense in your head, and it helps you remember it. So these are brother and sister. If it's written material, say it out loud. Try and see if you can actually understand it when you just say it to yourself. If it's spoken material, write it down. Write it down afterwards and look and go, does this actually make sense? Now, going with the writing, we've spoken about writing twice. There's a third one, and this is rather interesting. Most of you, when you think of writing, or actually, let's actually be honest. Most of you in the 21st century don't write, you type. You go to a classroom, you sit down, you type, right? Or you do on your cell phone, and you take these notes. It reminds me of people who take pictures of everything. And you ask them, do you remember that concert we went to last year? Yes. Do you look at the pictures? No. But you took many pictures? Yes. But you don't look at them? Yeah. It's like, it was a waste. You should have watched and enjoyed instead of taking pictures that you never look at. So you've missed it twice. You missed the actual thing, and now you're missing what's actually in your computer. The same with typing. When you type, it actually doesn't activate your brain as much. Well, I took the notes. You said write it down. I said, yeah, write, write. I didn't say type. When you tape it, your brain doesn't really know that this is an S button and this is a T button and this is a U button. It has no clue. It just knows press button, press button, press button. When you're writing, each character is individual. So it forces the brain to pay attention to what you're doing. And that paying attention to what you're doing makes the language or whatever subject you're studying go deeper into your brain. Now, you notice I said here, I said, write in cursive, do not print. And some of you are like, oh, what's that? I know. Time has changed. There was a time when I went to school, you had to learn cursive. In fact, it was so bad, they gave you a pencil because you weren't good enough. And when you mastered cursive, they gave you a pen. And everybody waited for that day to be given a pen. Like, you may now write in permanent ink. No more pencil for you because you were a big boy now. So for those of you who don't know what cursive is, because some of you won't, this is cursive. Now some of you right now are going, what did he just do? Is that Arabic? Is that Sanskrit? What is that? This is not English. This is cursive. You're welcome. Or I can write it like this. I'm going to be off the board, but you will see what I mean. The thing about cursive is it combines the two parts of your brain, your left and right hemisphere. So one is more artistic, one is more scientific. I mean, this is just general. Don't take it too seriously. Even scientists have a problem with it. But they're saying the two parts of your brain deal with different parts. One, form and function, more logical thinking. In cursive, it's combined. Because when we write, that's more logical information. But the cursive is artistic. You can see, swirl, swirl, duh, it's all art. So the two parts of the brain work together to make the information go deeper into the brain so you remember it better. So when I say print, this is okay, not good enough. You want to do this. This will even require for many of you a lot of time to master. I just recently started doing it again, and it took me a few days after years of being able to do it to get this consistent. You have to focus. So this is interesting in case you think, he just made that up, it came from nowhere. Well, actually, I made it up with a whole bunch of important people down in the United States. In the New York Times article, it was April 30th, 2013, the College Board findings. Now, the College Board in the States deals with the universities. And what they found is they have a general test that they give to all of the students to see if they should go to university. They're called the SATs, but you don't need to know that. But it's just a general test throughout America that everyone does to go into university. And depending on your score, you can go to a better and better school. And they found that the people who actually wrote in cursive outperformed, not by millions, but outperformed or did better than the people who printed. And not even talking about typing. They just noticed these guys did better than these guys. It's the same information. It's just they did it differently and gave their brain an opportunity to work a little harder, to learn a little more. So I'm suggesting for you that when you do notes, try and write in cursive. Here's a little secret. Once you get good at cursive, it's actually faster because you flow so you can write more. Oh, who would have thought? It's like sweat raining in here, sweat dripping. Okay, anyway, the next one, we talked about this, and then as I said, in the College Board findings, they found a difference between printing and cursive and an improvement in people's ability to remember the information and score or do better on tests. That's real world super learning. Next one, talk to yourself about it. What? Yeah, you're going to be that person who walks down the street. So I got to get 4 bags of milk. And then the cat said, and then when I said to my boss, and people, they're crazy, crazy. Yep, become that person. Talk to yourself. I have found that if I'm reading something as an idea and I start speaking about it, the parts that I don't understand, I can't really talk about. I just get like, and then that tells me to write down in cursive, I don't understand that and I have to redo it. I've got to restudy that part because I can't explain it to myself. Because when I understand it, I can explain it to myself. So talk to yourself about it. Whenever you get confused, that tells you that is a part you have to go back and study. All right? So you're finding the holes in your knowledge. So if it's not increasing the knowledge, at least it's saying, you really don't know this, you should study it. Now, see this, that's the blah, blah. See this blah, blah? That's me and you right now, or you and I. Teach someone. I studied martial arts for a number of years, and one of my teachers used to make all of the instructors teach someone else. So if you wanted to get a black belt, you had to teach a class at brown belt. When you were teaching, they would look at your students, and all the mistakes your students make, they would say, hey, guess what? All the stuff they don't know, you don't know. That's why they don't know it. You didn't teach it to them. So then you would have to learn the stuff, get good at it, and teach your students, and then they would test you again, and when they would say, okay, all of the students you taught know this, you must know this material, now you can go for your black belt test. Simple, but effective. What the students don't know, the teacher must not know. Because if the teacher knew it, they would teach it. Teach someone else what you know. It's not even what I just told you that you can show you know. You will notice there are holes in your knowledge or you don't really understand when people confront you with questions. That means they ask you questions like, why does that happen? And you'll be able to either go, well, because da-da-da-da-da. Or you'll go, well, that's good. Ooh, I don't know. And then you have to go learn. You see, the thing about learning is, it's not just taking information in. It's understanding that information, being able to use it, and keeping that information. And also knowing what you don't know. Many people make the mistake of thinking, because I know this, this, and this, and this, I have a lot of knowledge, or I'm a very smart person. But the smartest people look for what they don't know, what they don't understand, because they know if you understand these things and know these things, there's a greater room of improvement than just knowing more and more and more, because the holes or the things you don't know end up bringing you down. Cool? So teaching someone else helps you to fix those holes, so it's harder to bring you down, and you can build on that knowledge to go higher, faster. And finally, I want to talk about summarizing. Because I haven't done any of that at all. I just take information. This is going to happen when we talk about reading. I've done a couple of videos before about summarizing for reading and writing or writing, you know, essays. It's like you summarize. It's like the 5-part essay thing. I said summarize, using one word, because if you can get a one word and a picture, what you will find is you can get a greater idea, or really be able to give an exact idea to the reader. But if you can't get it down to one picture, one word, then it's just a bunch of babbling or meandering, which means going around like this without getting a focus on what you're saying. And I was saying that for using a title or the idea for a paragraph, get it into one word and then expand upon it. Well, the same thing is when you're reading. Read, stop at the end of a paragraph, try and get a picture in your head, write it out. And that word or picture should express what the paragraph's about. Because if you can do that, two things happen. Number one, if you summarize in the margin means the corner, you could have maybe 10, 15 words, which is much easier to remember than 10 or 15 pages, that will summarize the idea of what you've read. It also gives you a break to make sure you understand what you've read before you go to the next part. Do you remember I talked about building? Another word of building, when we say going on top of each other, is called scaffolding. So you're scaffolding. If you get this and understand it, then read it and summarize and read and summarize. You're making sure along the way you always understand. So when you get to the ideas that they're trying to teach you, it's easier for you to get the big global picture, because all the way along, you've been making sure you understood. Many people read a lot of pages, get to the end and say, I don't understand what they just read, and have to read again, which is a complete waste of your time. And remember, with super learning, we're trying to minimize the time and maximize the learning. So summarize in the margins when you read. Cool? So I'm hoping you got at least one, two, or three tools under your belt you can use right away. Eventually, you should try to use all seven. But I'd like to give you, can you believe it, a test. Because if it's about super learning, I want to know what you just learned. All right, quiz time. You are super learnified. It's not a word. But the whole point about that video, or this video, was you're learning and you're super learning. So let's see what information you've actually learned and you keep. Because learning without keeping information is a waste of time, right? You don't want to burn your hand on a fire on a regular basis and have to relearn. So, first question I want to do, because we're going to do a quiz, is this. Here are the five questions, and I want to see what information you have retained. Retain means to keep. Number one, printing is the best way to remember information. I have my handy markers here. Red is for false, blue is for true. Which one will it be? False. But James, you told us writing is better than typing with our fingers. No, I said, that's okay, but the best thing to do is use cursive. Cursive is that lines when we were drawing like this, like C, like that, right? So cursive is the best way. Printing is okay, it's better than typing information in, but cursive is the superior. So I'm going to open these caps so I don't go click, click, click every 5 seconds. All right, next, the article about cursive, see, you could have looked here. The article about cursive was written in Psychology Today. No. It was written in, where did we write it? New York Times. They were looking at the SATs, right? So this one is also false. What about this one here? Summarizing when reading helps to improve memory. True. Remember we said when you summarize, it gives you the ability to get the ideas clear in your head and then scaffold. Remember we talked about scaffolding, putting one idea on top of another to go higher and higher in knowledge. That's why. Number four, reading out loud is for children and is best avoided by advanced students. You know, when children read and they're like, the cat and the dog went to the store. The cat got hit by a car. Ooh, that's a bad story. So is it just for children? This is false. Why is it false? Remember what we said. we're trying to get, there are three different ways of learning for people: kinesthetic, auditory, and visual. By reading out loud, we're engaging or we're using our auditory sense, right? So we've been looking, visual, reading, remember we talked about auditory, and then moving your mouth brings in the kinesthetic sense. It's not just for children, it's for advanced students as well, to help clarify what's in their brain and to make sure they understand because you have time to think about it. Number five, teaching others helps with remembering information and finding out what you need to relearn. True or false? True. When you teach others, you remember the gaps. A gap is a space in your knowledge. People have a tendency, or they will ask you questions, which is a good thing. Because when they ask you questions, you get to think and think, do I know the answer to that question? Or do I understand the material well enough to answer that question? That helps you learn, because you will go back, study, research. And if there are holes in your knowledge, you will improve it. And if you can explain it well enough that people understand, it says you have learned the material very well. And that is an excellent thing, because really that's what learning is about, improving yourself so you go to the next level. And also challenging yourself, because it's not just about English. This can be used for anything you're learning, from medicine, sports, and English. Now I'm going to give you the bonus. These things aren't exactly, well, none of these are about English, and they don't need to be. But these things will help you learn English faster. So you'll grow faster with it, and that's the point of the exercise. First one is, get some sleep. A lot of people are walking around with 4 or 5 hours sleep and they're so proud of themselves, like, I only need 4 hours sleep. But in the long run, they've done a lot of medical studies to say dementia and Alzheimer's, which are diseases of the mind, the less sleep you get, the more you will probably get Alzheimer's or dementia, which means less mind capacity or not being able to think when you're older. So when you really need your brains, you won't have them. So get some sleep, okay? When you sleep, your brain actually stores information. It deletes or gets rid of information that you don't need to have, like how many times did you open a door today? And it looks for the information that's important and it keeps it. So the more sleep you get, the better your brain can actually do that. So the learning you've done today, you can keep for tomorrow. But when you don't sleep, you run the risk of losing everything. Okay, so get some sleep. That's the first thing you should do. Now here's a hint you should do before you go to bed. So 5-10 minutes before you go to bed, try to review what you've done in the day. So if you were working on grammar, try and think of what grammar points you learned, what were the important points, what were the exceptions. Here's why. They have found that when you go to sleep, the things that are on your mind will be played out in your mind when you have what we call REM sleep or rapid eye movement. You're dreaming. So you can influence that and help with keeping your memories by thinking about it before. If it's important, your brain will take it in and as you sleep, go over it. Not bad, huh? 5-10 minutes, you study for hours. Take 5 or 10 minutes before you go to bed and try and remember. I would do the same thing if I were doing Spanish or German. Try and say a few things or what was important and go to bed. You might have a dream in English. That's not such a bad thing. And you'll be practicing while you sleep. Yeah, so you get the extra practice in while you get that extra sleep. The last thing is exercise. I can't remember my Latin, but I think it's san corpus o san menis, which means sound mind and a sound body. Old Latin. Exercise as the event of making you feel good, giving you the energy to learn, but also because the body is fit when you're healthy, everything works better, so including your brain. It is part of your body after all. So if you're getting better circulation, better breathing, your mind works better. It's clearer and works faster. So it makes learning easier to do. Because really when we do super learning tips is to make learning easier so you can learn more, retain it, and enjoy what you've learned by being able to use it. So go out there and exercise. It doesn't mean lift millions of weights or do CrossFit. It means take a walk in nature, right? Walk the stairs, don't take the elevator, because little things make a huge difference, right? So get some exercise. Believe it or not, all of these things have to do with learning English because they make you a better person, and making you a better person gives you the ability to learn more. Homework, yay! Finally, we got our homework we got to do. I want you to take two of the concepts that you've learned today, take just two of them, and use them to relearn the lesson I've just taught you. No. I told you before that when I had teachers, they made us teach students, and what we couldn't teach, we didn't understand. So I'm not saying take seven, but take two, go out to a friend and explain these concepts and see how well they understand. If they're like, I don't get it, why this and that, re-watch the video, because now it's your studying. Because I'm looking at it this way, if I can get you to look at this again and again and start teaching it as much as possible, 3 months, 6 months, you'll be learning everything you do a little bit better. English, of course, will be your first choice. But if you're getting better in every way, you'll learn better and you'll have another reason to come back and learn more. And on that note, what I want you to do is I want you to go to www.ing.com, where you can learn about other lessons that I've done on how to learn faster or learn better. You can learn lessons in grammar, reading, and writing. And there are other fabulous teachers that you can learn from. As always, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to learn from us. Always appreciate every minute you spend with me. And I look forward to seeing you in the next video. Okay? Have a good one.